Hello and welcome to the An Inspired Life podcast. This is the home of spiritual and also really raw human conversations that inspire us to stop talking about spirituality and actually live our divine truth. My name is Kiara O'Leary. I'm a divine change agent, a devoted stance for the undiluted power within all of us, and your host. Every week I speak to an inspiring thought leader from around the world in an unscripted, we have no idea where it's going, totally intuitively guided conversation to bring you practical tips that you can apply immediately to create powerful shifts in your life. Each episode is also a powerful transmission that will raise your vibration simply by listening. I'm so excited to share with you this week's guest, which is Andrew Eggleton, and we talked all about the ways that we block the love that we crave. Andrew Eggleton is a modern-day system disruptor, a writer, an artist, a TV presenter, a speaker, and he has an inner child that is a rebel. It's so clear in this podcast as well. His mission is to deliver world-class coaching, installing a sense of play so that anyone can perform at levels they had never thought possible in their careers and their everyday life. And before I begin to share what Andrew and I talked about, I just kind of want to be upfront and say that sharing this podcast really has scared me a little. It feels so vulnerable. It's triggered some of my stuff, and I wondered if maybe I could just not share it. Andrew and I talked about some stuff that felt really vulnerable for the two of us, and we talked about our incredible love that we have for each other and how often people would want to block that love because we have rules about where we think we're allowed to receive love, and how we have chosen to do the opposite of that. And we talked about so many other things, which I'll share with you in a second, but it also really triggered for me this feeling of like not wanting to take up too much time and space. And I thought at times that like we focus too much on Andrew and I and not what you would receive from it. But I really feel like this is such a transmission of vulnerability and two people navigating a conversation that feels really vulnerable and doing it in a way that allows other people to see them, for themselves to be seen and for that to be okay. So I invite you as you listen, if you feel like, you know, maybe you're feeling like we're taking up too much time and space, have a look about where that could be a trigger for you in your own life. But if it really just doesn't feel right for you, then I invite you just to stop listening to the podcast and listen to another episode, because this is one that is different to most of them. It's different. And I hope that you enjoy it. I would love your feedback after you listen. If you've been listening to the show for a while, let me know what you think of this particular episode, because it really is two people navigating a conversation that is so honest that it's kind of scary, and I hope you enjoy it. So we talked about spiritual shitstorms and how to decipher the symbolic meanings of our life experiences. We talked about how Andrew moved from his head to his heart after being crushed last year. We talked about how we are all scared of ourselves and how everything changes when we stop being scared of our own power. The rules that we create ourselves about when and how much love we will allow into our lives, and how we place a lot of pressure on our partner when we don't allow ourselves to receive love from others. Andrew and I discussed how we all have a unique, inspiring story to share when we are just unapologetically ourselves. Andrew shared what happened to make him stop with the layers and the masks and to be one of the most real and authentic people I've ever met. And he truly is a man living from his feminine energy first. He receives guidance from there and he feels from there, and then he takes action with his masculine and he holds such a safe space. So I know that you are going to enjoy the transmission of his energy. We talked about why the fear of judgment becomes far less scary when you decide to truly be yourself. And we even suggest an exercise to observe the difference between who you really are and who you present yourself to be, how to release the masks by truly seeing them in the first place. And lastly, we talked about why silence and being seen scares us, but holds the intimacy that we actually crave. I'm kind of hoping that this conversation triggers people and brings up stuff, and I feel like it's such a powerful transmission, so I'm really excited to hear what you think afterwards. But for now, let's jump straight into the podcast with Andrew. Thank you so much for being on the show, Andrew. You and your roosters in the background, because you're in Bali at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I've got a couple of weeks teaching over here at the moment and some time out.
Amazing. Good, because you need it. You just had like a week before you went over there that was full of crazy stuff. And even one of those, like the wall fell in on you while you were in a shower in a hotel. Can we talk about that? I didn't know we were going to talk about that, but now we are.
I know. But everyone's like, what were you doing? It sounds exciting. But I wasn't doing anything exciting. In line with kind of what we're talking about is I looked up at the tiles in the shower and I saw that they weren't grouted properly. And in my head, I went, that's going to pop out at some stage. And within a beat, literally one massive tile popped out and then the whole wall went. Wow. And it was the fact that I was looking up them and I hadn't acknowledged that, was that I had time to act and put my hands up to protect my toes being cut off. And I was in the shower. Anything could have got cut off in there, you know what I mean? So I was lucky.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. And it reminds me of, I think it was Meet Your Soul, Elisa Romeo's book, where she talks about like shit storms in your life, where it's like, I think that was the story in her book where she came home one day and literally the whole sewage system of that town was coming back out through their toilet and their taps, and their whole apartment was being flooded. The whole apartment building was being flooded with sewage everywhere, and they were like digging shit out with buckets out, taking it outside. Crazy. And when they called people, they're like, how fast? But they couldn't really explain what was happening. So insane. And she said that that we need to be aware of the shit storms in our life and how they have like a symbolic meaning. So what do you think that the shower falling in on you meant?
It's really interesting because when people see the gashes I got from that, actually every single person is like, oh, that's life telling you to slow down. And then of course I go, well, that's a fucking cliche. Why does it have to mean that I have to slow down because I've got these injuries? What I picked up from it was that my intuition had told me that that tile is about to pop out, and I had a split second to trust it and step out of the shower. Mm. Instead, I didn't, and that split second later, they came in on me. I knew it was going to happen before it happened. I just didn't fully understand or comprehend what I just felt.
Yeah.
That's better than the cliche of you being told to slow down.
And do you know what I love about that? So many people like have a dream or something and then they look it up online and they're like, what does this mean in my dream? But actually, I feel like we always know how to decipher the symbolic meanings ourselves. And whatever you feel it means is actually probably what it means. And you've just like, you're like, I'm not going to listen to you. I know what it means for myself.
Yeah. It's been this intuition, this part of this piece of me and this and how I use it in my everyday life is really becoming now part of my package of who I am and how I teach. And it's not something that I've probably tapped into or trusted as much as I do in this at this moment.
Okay,
it's such a special gift.
Yes, that we literally all have and deny most of our lives. So I love that. And I want to reveal for all of the listeners, I'm sure you won't mind me sharing this, that Andrew and I have done some coaching together before. And so I've seen his journey from when he was like, almost like a man on a mission, and he was like, I'm gonna show the world all of this stuff. And then he just became the most divine masculine creature, where you've like really incorporated your divine feminine and trusting your intuition and trusting that what you feel is what's really going on, and allowing that to then inform your choices in your like divine masculine energy. And so I like just beam every time I get to speak to you, because I'm so excited that this is the man that I'm speaking to today. You are truly an embodiment of that divine balance between the two energies. And so I would love to know what your story is in terms of like, you've just kind of come out of the spiritual closet. We talked about this before. Tell us a bit about the journey from a man who like was spending a lot of time in his head to being able to feel in your body and be guided like that.
Well, firstly, that's a really beautiful way of being described by you. That made me feel really, made me feel quite delicious. Thank you.
You're welcome. Everyone who's listening, you're welcome. You can have the delicious transmission as well. So got the vibes.
You know, I was in Bali last year. I'll create this story, but I will shorten it. I don't want to stay too long on my past. It's just got me to here. But I like to talk, and I teach people now to, when they're presenting, it's like, yeah, I got your past, cool, but let's not dwell on it. You're either the victim now, or now you're the leader. Mm-hmm. And so it's time to move into that transition of leading. Last year created something a sense of empathy in me that I hadn't had so strong before. Quite simply, I probably got crushed, and it allowed me to start putting myself in other people's shoes, and it started to allow me to trust. I just got to a point where it was make or break. I feel that it was only in January where I said the words to myself, it's time to stop being scared of myself. And that's scared of not just success, but scared of the power that you actually have. And so I stepped into that and took some big risks. And with each risk that I took, I just kept on standing up to the plate. Mm-hmm. And the more I felt like the higher the bar I raised it, and the more chances of me screwing it up, the more that I actually delivered. And the more that I delivered, the more that I trusted myself. And almost kept surprising myself in the way that I was delivering. And stopped and realized that the technical ways of me, of the way that I used to teach, were less superior to me teaching by just tuning into myself and then giving people unique, tailor-made teachings as they came up. Like I would tune into the person, and I realized that my ability to tune into the person separated me from a lot of other coaches in my area. And the more I did that, the more it kind of grew. And I came up with this little line the other day of, you know, the day that you shift your presenting from your head to your heart, you'll never forget your words again on stage. And now that's what I teach. I've gone from teaching presenters to teaching people to get out of their head and speak from the heart instead. And it's a way more powerful place because you're connecting with people.
And ironically, the journey that you've taken as well to get out of your head and into your heart, and you're just using that, the presenting to teach people that journey, really. You're telling teaching them presenting.
Yes, presenting's a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
So the presenting's like, this is the tool. It's just a tool. It's like the camera is a tool. Coming into the room and presenting and standing up on stage, it's just a tool of which I then teach you to tap into your heart when you're talking.
Mm.
And if you're tapping into your heart when you're talking, you're hitting people on an emotional level that's so far superior than speaking from your head and being manipulative with your words or your point in this direction when you say this, go to this side of the stage. Or I mean, that's technical shit. And that's it's kind of, we've moved on. Well, I've moved on.
Yeah. And I've been in your room as you teach about presenting. So we've like had this beautiful, like I've coached you, you've coached me. It's amazing. And I've been in your room and what you teach is actually not to be afraid of whatever comes next out of your heart. Like, I love that. It's like, just yes, let it come unfiltered and fully from your body. So, yeah. And you know, when you said before that you decided not to be afraid of yourself anymore and not to be afraid of your power as well, I feel like actually I cried yesterday, literally yesterday, because everything is falling into place. Like everything I've wanted for the last couple of years is happening. And I can see this little girl inside of me who is like terrified of what that means for my friends that I have now and my family that I have now, and this like fear of if I become that successful, will they still love me? Like, you know, it's so ridiculous, but it's a tribal thing. Like, we're so afraid to outgrow, like money wise or success wise or whatever it is, we're so afraid to outgrow what's happening in the tribe. And I'd love to hear what you did to allow yourself not to be afraid of your own power anymore.
Yeah. It's a funny one, you know, because you were just putting the shoe on. You were saying to me that you've watched my journey over the last year and a half, but also in response to that too, I've also been aware of seeing you change.
This makes me feel vulnerable. What are you going to say about me?
Well, before, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. When I used to work with you, you were this cute girl that I worked with who was my coach, and you were teaching me ABCs of things, mm-hmm. you know, and I was following it from a determined point of view that I was going to do this. Then now when I think of you and I work with you, I have this real sense of love mm-hmm. for you. It's a complete change, and that takes two people, doesn't it? You know, if you can't accept that love, or if you aren't also standing in that place, then I wouldn't be able to give or receive from you as well. Mm. Like I know when I speak to you, I leave with my cup full, which is a nice place to be in. And you've grown up. You've grown up so much.
All right, now you've made me embarrassed. Although, actually, I say that. Do you know? I need to call bullshit on myself. I say that, but I'm really not embarrassed. I'm like, we could speak forever about this. I'd be so happy to receive compliments.
You know it. You know it.
But thank you. And so, I guess, in terms of like what. The question that I asked and then why you chose to say that, I'm kind of like drawing two and two together. And I feel like what you're attempting to say is that when I've stepped into my power, that you've been able to love me more. And like that, as we've grown, like I've grown, you've grown, and we've been able to meet each other at another level as well. Is that what you were getting at?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Coming from, I believe that people could be afraid of this kind of love. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm going to touch on something here, and maybe it makes me a little bit vulnerable, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is that okay?
Yes, of course.
So to be able to feel that sense of love, and especially to someone of the opposite sex, and not confuse that with anything, and to actually accept that wholeheartedly. And even when you're seeing somebody else, still to accept that love of somebody else, going, well, it's love. Why would I not accept it or give it to this person? when it makes me, when it fills me up. There's a sense of guilt from when you're in a relationship. There's a sense of guilt that I'm sure women and men get of, I've got these feelings for this other person and they're really deep. I shouldn't feel that, so let's cut that connection off. Or, Ben, then why would you do that? Mm. When you speak to this person, when you're in their presence, you walk away glowing and feeling amazing. So why control that space? And if you're, and also if you're open with your partner too, and being able to communicate how that works, then that also that partner has nothing to feel or worry about, because they get it.
Mm.
And if they, perhaps if they didn't get it, that it might not be the right person for you.
Mm.
Is that kind of clear what I said or not?
I feel like what you've done is gone into a whole new layer, actually. So I was like, how do you not be afraid of yourself? And you just move straight into like this unconditional love. And I really, really love that you shared that, and that you know that this is going to God knows how many people, and that you still shared that. And and it's exactly how I feel too, that there's like this soul connection and soul love, like a love that is beyond like the human level. And so yeah, I feel like it's like moving into a new territory of like, let's just like let all of the old paradigms burn all together. I was like, how do we play around in this paradigm? How do we not feel afraid of that? And you're like, let's just let it burn, and here's the new paradigm, which is just like love.
Yeah. Well, you speak about not being afraid of yourself. And I think that's one of the things that people are afraid of, though. It's that feeling.
Mm.
You know, that feeling of, I mean, love really fills you up. And when you're giving and receiving it, that's reciprocal. That both people walk away. It's kind of a win-win. And if we, for me, if I walk around and stop every time I develop a friendship with somebody, and then that blossoms into the sense of love, and I block, once we get to that beautiful sense of peace, that feeling of love, and then we cut it off because you're a woman and I'm not allowed to love, you know, more than one person. What a crazy box to put ourselves in.
Holy shit, I hear you. I really hear you. And how often we must go, and okay, all right, how often I go, I'll talk like with ownership, how often I would say to myself, like, I'm not like that, I'm not allowed to have that love. Like, I'm not allowed to allow that person in. I'm not allowed to feel this loved and this supported, or I'm not allowed to feel that powerful or that good. And so we block it off. You're right. I feel that.
I can see you click. You're like clicking over. It's like this new thing that's happened. Because it's perhaps, I mean, obviously, I don't know. I really don't know anything. I'm just making this shit up as I go. That kind of works for me.
Aren't we all?
And constantly, we totally all lie. Anyone else who says they don't, they're lying. It's just this crazy. It's this crazy scenario. It's like, okay, if you've got a partner, that's all you can be loved or love. Anything else is you know. Is beyond the boundaries. But what are these? What are these boundaries? Why have we even created them?
Mm. Yeah. And then how many people are around the world right now in really dependent relationships, because we've been told that we can only get our source of love from one person. I feel like we're like, whoa, where is this going? That we can only get our source of love from one person. And so we like have had to cut it off. But love is
and how hard is that?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, now, what an incredible expectation you have on your partner to go, all the love I need in the world is from you.
Yeah.
Or my family. And sometimes, to be really fair, your family is pretty shy at being able to give you that love that is, you know, that they love you. I know my family loves me, but do they give me that sense of love that It's just like, oh my God, you know, where's the electricity? Mm. Where's the electricity here? There's, you know, and I have this for male friends too, obviously as well. And with females, it's a different feeling. It's a soft and it's a sensual and it's like, oh, I'm basking in this kind of thing.
I hear you. Wow. It's so interesting. Like there's this study that was done about babies in an orphanage, and one group of the babies were like held and loved and given all of the right food and stuff. And the other group was just given all of the right physical, like tangible things that we think we know that they need, like food and, you know, diaper changed and stuff. And the babies that didn't get the love and the holding and the affection died. This is really bad. Like maybe someone should look up this study, right? Like, I don't know, but I know that those ones were far less likely to survive than the ones that got the holding and the love. And so I feel like that, plus the fact that there are breatharians out there who say that they're just like sourcing their energy from like the divine or divine love, kind of shows that like we get filled up by love and yet we block so much of it because we have these silly rules about where we think we're allowed to get it from.
And the interesting thing is that the workshops that I run or the way that I teach changed completely the day that I started telling those people attending that I love them and giving them, holding that space for them to be able to fuck it up. You know, I want you to go out there. You're allowed to screw it up. I'm giving you permission to screw it up. I want you to fail fast. And you're going to do that because you've got me behind you. I've got your back and I'm doing this all with love. And and you've seen me work. I get away with being very blunt.
Yes, you do.
You know, I have this real knack of being black and white. And it's kind of like, in this beautiful sense, tearing people to shreds in a way that they actually turn around and go, oh, thank you, afterwards. Like I've said something really nice to them, but I've kind of just said, that was really, really shit. Right, let's try it again. And this is why X, Y, and Z. And now I'm going to give you the space of love, the space to work in, and let's do it again. And all of a sudden, they kind of blossom.
Yeah,
you know, it's great. I actually giggle to myself all the time of what I get away with saying to people. This is my job now. I get to swear like a sailor and tell people exactly what I'm thinking with no holds barred, and then they turn around and say thank you, and we all walk away going, that was an amazing day, and they're better, not just better presenters for it, but they're more in touch with their story, their self-worth, and filled with that lovely feeling of that warm fuzzy feeling of love.
So I feel like what you're saying there is that these people get to just be them and
totally.
Be seen in that and loved regardless of what happens.
Yes.
And that, if we go all the way back to your start of the story, you were like, I'm just not going to be afraid of myself anymore. And I think really that like one of the key things that we are afraid of is that we're not enough and we won't be loved. So like either we could fail and then we won't be loved, or we could be too successful and then we won't be loved. So there's like this like barometer in between that we think is safe. And I feel like if we could just give medicine to everyone in the world and let them know that no matter which end you end up on, the fail, the success, or anything in between, like you will still be loved. And that gives us the freedom to just do whatever it is that our soul is calling us to do.
Yeah. When you tap it, when I tap into people when I'm working with them, I'm basically discovering or allowing myself to feel what's the weakness? What is the thing that is stopping them? And normally it's a sense of self-worth. Their sense that their story is not as good as somebody else's. or they haven't moved on yet from the victim mode into the leadership mode. They're still wanting to get up there and talk about, this is my past. And like I kind of yawn and go, God, that's fucking boring. I want to know now what you can do for me or for others. Mm-hmm. And then once they realize that they actually have that story that helps others, they move away, they shift from that victim mode into that sense of, actually, I can help others who were in my position before.
Yeah.
I mean, the best coaches are the ones that have gone through crap and failed, and they've learned from it. And then they can pass on, this is what I learned, and you don't have to do the same thing.
Mm. Can you tell us about that story that you told when I went to your workshop about a young man who came in and honestly had like no idea that he had any, like he could have any self-esteem, and what happens there? I don't know why, I just feel intuitively called for you to share that.
That was a previous Melbourne workshop, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, it was. And I admired him right from the beginning, the fact that he'd walked in the door. And there was, I think, 13 or 14 of us, and 99% of that room was pretty already kick-ass entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I was a little bit intimidated at that stage, just going, holy shit, well, how do I teach these people? And he sat way down in the corner. So, you know, that worker, he was way down the corner by himself, and I pulled him up, and he'd gone there just to get confidence. And he went last that day, and he stood up in front of a camera, and I swear to God, he was shaking like a leaf. Absolutely petrified. He couldn't say his name. His hands were shaking when he was talking. And I took his notes off him. And I said, you know, we're all here for you, right? You know, I love you. I just want you to tell me about your past few years, just to get him talking about a story. And I was like, it's okay, man. You can't fuck this up. You're talking about you. Whatever comes out, comes out. And then we will structure that. And he ended up talking, you know, he'd had, his father was a very manly man, like a man and martial arts and things. And he was literally, in the nicest possible way, a really tech geek kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And he had been, what we unearthed was that he was, had been addicted to school. He said, I failed school. And then we changed that around and said, no, the school failed you because it didn't work for your type of personality, who you are. Let's put that into perspective. Let's change that story. You didn't fail school. School failed you. The system failed you. It's not built for everybody. It's like a blanket approach, right? Mm-hmm. And then he talked about that he was addicted to gaming. And I said, are you still addicted to gaming? He goes, no, I'm not anymore. I don't use games. I said, okay, so you're not addicted to gaming anymore. Let's let that go and let's change that around. Once he got his story and everyone was going, oh my God, you've got a really good story now. It was really encouraging. The rest of the other people in the workshop was super, super helpful. You could see his chest puffing up and his sense of self was, wow, I actually am somebody. I actually am somebody. Mm-hmm. It was very, very cool. Like it was fucking sexy. It was this young guy, I think he was 20 years of age, went from hunched shoulders and stuttering and to all of a sudden like, oh, I can help other people with gaming issues if you wanted to. Like I've got a story. Mm-hmm. And then we were telling him to get that. He was telling that story. The system failed me and then I'd do this. And now once he got onto that, he was like a completely different person.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had walked in that door still impresses me to this day, because people with a lot of confidence turn the car around when they're driving to my workshop. There's always one or two who have paid and don't turn up. You know, it's quite phenomenal.
Yeah, his courage inspires me, and the remembering that honestly all of us are like that. Like all of us have that boy inside of us that is like, what if I'm not anything? And what if I don't have a story to tell? And then all of us have the ability to remember that we are worth something. And honestly, all we want is to be able to contribute to other people's lives. Like, we just want to know we're good enough to contribute to other people's lives. So that, like, transformation inspires me as well.
That's such a gift, isn't it? That's actually in the Brisbane workshop whatever it was, 2 weeks ago. That was the thing that the lady came afterwards. She goes, in 2 years, I don't see you doing this. I see you teaching people that it's about self-worth.
Mm.
And I was like, no, I'm really good at this. But who knows? I don't know. The thing is, I actually can't say what I'm going to be doing in 2 years. Mm. People talk about doing a 5-year plan. And I'm like, I can do your 5-year plan of what my house might look like, or financial or different, but I can't tell you what I'm going to be teaching in 5 years. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, because we kind of get told, don't we? It's like the universe is like, here you go, over here, please.
I know.
So tell me what you do when you have moments of feeling like that boy, when you have moments of feeling like maybe you can't contribute or maybe you're not good enough. What do you do to shift that around and to invite in more love to yourself?
I think I'm getting actually a lot better with it. I used to have that sense of anxiety or that self-doubt, and I just started asking myself where it was coming from. So quite often my anxiety would be I'd spoken to somebody and I picked it up off them, and then I started carrying that around, that sense of self-doubt or anxiety. I'd actually picked it up off someone in a room, or I was speaking to someone directly and started feeling that when I was with them, and it's recognizing that that's not mine. Okay, I just picked up on it and having to separate it, and then turning that around and going, what a gift, because now I know how to treat that person so I can start to calm them down or get them out of their head or release that energy from them. Or in a room, what does this room need from me for everybody to come back to center?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I have to hold fort and be strong and be the spokesperson of the room. It's just like, what do I need to do to hold my space and allow others to feel what I'm putting out there so they feel comfortable as well? And that's not doing bloody breathing exercises and OMs and protecting my space, which a lot of people, which I've seen, and it puts people off. This is just me. This is just my opinion.
Yes,
but it's easier than that. It's not that damn difficult, you know. For me, it's not about doing breathing exercise and meditation and stuff. In fact, meditation makes me angry. It's just recognizing and going, okay, cool, there's someone here that's feeling really anxious, and I do this in my workshops all the time. How do I now bring this back to center? And it's by just being really, really me. Really me, taking away my layers and just owning my real, real self, my true self. And if I'm doing that, it allows others to do the same.
So Andrew, pause there, because I feel like maybe I just was about to get my coach on. This is funny, but put that aside. I feel like you don't realize how good you are at that, if that makes sense. Like, even on this podcast, you have been so real, so real. Like, you just don't have the layers, or at least not as many that other people have. How do you do that? For other people who are listening, they're like, I want to be real. I want to show people my real self. What actually changed? Because you didn't always do that either.
No, and that's hard, because I do ask people, you know, when that is said, I go, well, I don't know what you're seeing. You know, I that's me looking from the side in, and I can't do that. That's why I don't record people's video sessions. They go, I want to take away DVD, and I'm like, I don't do that. Well, why? Because that's what's always done in these presenting courses. I'm like, because it means you're going to look from the outside in and focus on what you look like and how you sound, and that's bullshit. It's got nothing to do with connection. People don't connect with you because of the way you hold your hands. People connect with you because where you hold your heart.
Yeah. But what happened? I'm not going to let you get away from this. I want to know.
Okay, no, keep questioning me because you'll get there.
I will. Yeah. What happened internally for you to be like, well, this is me? Because that's what we're seeing. We're just seeing you, really you. What made you brave enough to just be you?
Oh, Kiara. I think, again, I don't want to go back to the past and bring that up, but I definitely was crushed last year. And I knew the whole time that it was for my good, it was for my greater good. And I spent a lot of time sitting with people I trusted, and normally, a female partner, because I felt with a female partner I was allowed to cry easier. Mm-hmm. and let myself be exposed in a way that I was super, super vulnerable, and I felt like a woman was able to hold that space for me better than a man.
Yeah,
that was just, that's just me. And I just got used to, the more that I tried to put on a front, the harder that felt. Mm-hmm. And it felt heavier for me to walk around with any layer of masks on. So it was harder for me to walk around with a mask on. And the more that, because I teach authenticity and vulnerability and you're presenting and turning up as unapologetically you and being you, if I don't lead that, if I'm not the best example that they've seen of that, I can't teach it. Mm. And I think that's been a huge part of my in pretty insane success my spike this year of moving to Australia and no one knowing me to all of a sudden doing, you know, this is my third tour, is that I am leading from a example point of view. Like, if I can be as much as myself as I can within my class, whenever I'm doing talks or webinars or I'm on a show or whatever it is, and in everyday life, because you know you don't want to separate the two. Is that this is who I am here. This is who I am here. It's all the same. When I present, it's the same as the person. When I get out of bed and talk, it's the same person as I am in front of the camera. And that gives permission to those around me to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's something else that I teach now, is you can't teach X, Y, and Z if you aren't leading X, Y, and Z. Mm. You know, I can't teach vulnerability if I'm not standing up there and being vulnerable. That doesn't mean I talk about my past, by the way. This is where people get a little bit murky, it's, you don't have to bring up your past. If you've got 10 minutes on stage to talk about something, you don't need to spend 3 to 5 minutes talking about your past of how this shaped who you are now. Just say, I've had some pretty fucking tough times. That's it. That sums it up. Now show me, just show me you're vulnerable. If you're vulnerable and then just be that. And the audience will see it. They don't need to know your life story. Everyone's had bad times. Everyone's had tough times. There's an infinite amount of things that have happened to people. And we don't need to hang on to that you also can't be judged when you're being vulnerable and authentic or really yourself. No one can judge you. That's the cool part. Mm. You move past the judgment phase because you go, I actually can't change. Like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being as much as me as I can be, and I don't have the mask on anymore. If you've got the mask on, people can judge you. There's a feeling that you can be judged because they're judging because you're not quite being yourself. You're giving off a feeling of ego or that you've got a mask on or that you're being something that you're not. And in a way, and this doesn't sound right, but in a way you kind of deserve to be judged because they're judging those those layers of you that aren't really you. But when you pull those off and just go, this is who I am, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to be this, so I'm giving you permission to do the same. Is that kind of makes sense?
It does. I have felt that as well. Like the more that I've let masks of who I thought that I needed to be fall away, and I'm still finding them all the time and letting them just like burn, the more that I've done that, the more that I just don't care what other people think along the way. So I'm you just can't. So once you see that this layer of you, so for example, like maybe I change the way I talk when I'm around men because I want them to approve of me or something. And once I see that layer, I'm like, that's not me. And it stops me from being real and it stops me from real connection. And so I'm like, decide to like burn it away, see it, feel it, transmute it, burn it away. And I don't care which people then leave my life after that. I just don't care because to me, the most important thing is that I'm being me and my own essence. And so you kind of, even if you are still judged, because other people's judgments are often about themselves and not about you anyway, even if you were judged, you just don't care because it's you, it's your essence, it's your truth. And like, there's nothing that anyone else can say that changes that, I feel.
No. You know, I mean, you're spot on. It's also very easy to go into this is my anything out of my control, which is someone else's opinion. It can't affect you because you know that 95 or 99%, whatever, of people that you're coming into come into your path, you're having this beautiful effect on. If there's one person that comes in and tries to disrupt that, you just go, dude, okay. It's all right. Let's just not be friends, or let's you just don't have to be in my life. That's okay. There's billions of other people out there.
Yeah.
And you, when you get to be yourself too, you don't have to put that mask on. It's less tiring.
Yeah.
It's so much. It's effortless. As I said earlier in this podcast, is I get to go in my workshops and swear and tell stories that sometimes I'm going, oh my God, am I telling this story really to all these strangers? But I get away with it. And it's so funny now, people go, you have this way of cutting the people's hearts, like going straight into there. Without softening the approach, like here's, you know, I want to soften this up for you. It's being able to get cut straight in there. And that makes faster, effective, more effective coaching. But I'm not doing it as in a way that I'm trying to knock you out or I'm better than you. You've seen the way I teach is I bring myself down to a level. I won't bring myself down. I show people that I'm full of flaws. I go, I'm full of all these flaws. You know, I do this and I do this and I do this and I tell people some of the stories of my failures. This is, some of these things are just showing people it's okay to fail in here. It's okay to do this and it's okay to be unapologetically yourself. You know, and that's what I think they walk out feeling lighter. For me, it's discovering what that mask is. What are those layers of the mask? Where did they come from? Where do they come from? And what do they look like? And how do I get rid of them? Sometimes that is by being very gentle.
Yeah.
It's almost a subtle trick of of luring someone into a space and they don't know that I'm actually taking them there. And then when they're sitting there, then slowly showing them where they're standing. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. Then making them aware of the new space they're holding and the effect that that's having on the other people in the room and on camera. So they've gone from A to B without them really knowing that they've made a shift, and then allowing them very gently to show that they're standing in a new space, and what effect that is having on people now, and compared to what it was before.
And when you say that, it this kind of makes me feel vulnerable. When you say that, it kind of created this idea for me that if everyone listening can put themselves in a position where they do feel really safe. So maybe you're hanging out with your best friend on the couch, or like my vulnerable version is like maybe you're in bed and you've just made love, because to me that is like the most open and visible that I ever am. And get yourself into that position. Don't go pick a lover off the street, but you know, like get yourself into a position where all of your masks are off and like feel into your body and go, who is this version? And what difference do I have when I walk out of the house? Like, who is this version? And what do I think I have to say when I'm with someone else? Or how do I think I have to act? And even just on Friday, just gone, I was at dinner with a guy that I'd only just met. Like, we connected on Facebook and stuff. We just met, we were having dinner, and he called me out on it. He was like, isn't it funny how when you first meet people, you can often do this like projection? Like, it's just like a little bit more excited, a little bit more presentable. Version of ourselves, and it's almost as if you like leave your body to present this version of you. And I was like, holy shit, I didn't even realize I was doing that. And I was, and so was he, and so we just decided to come back into our bodies and like be in our center and just be. And the shift in like the ability to connect from that was incredible. And so we just let like any idea of that we had to say something or do something or everything fall away. And from that moment, I've been a new version of me as well, because as soon as I saw that mask, I'm not going to pick it back up again. And so it's just about noticing those masks and deciding we're not going to pick them back up again.
That's such a cool example. And there's something we talk about first dates, or there's, I love that awkward silence when you've met someone for the first time, or you're on a first or second date and there's that awkward silence, but you allow yourself to sit in it. And it's actually, if you allow yourself to sit in it and feel it, it's actually a really beautiful moment between two people. Because someone wants to break it by saying something, but whatever they're going to say is going to be really stupid anyway, because you're just saying words to fill the space. So nothing you're going to say is actually worth saying until it pops up and you feel it. So if you just sit in that space and that feeling, it's a really vulnerable and damn sexy place to be. But because it's quite unnerving, there's a lot going on. It's all in the unspoken.
Yeah. My God, how scary is that to look in someone's eyes when you don't know them very well? Like, to me, the only person's eyes that I used to look in and not say anything would have been my partner's. So to look in someone's eyes and not say anything creates such a level of intimacy, like with a friend or like someone of the same sex, opposite sex, anything, where you're like, holy shit, I am being seen so deeply right now and I have nowhere to hide and I know they can see all the way in. So actually, everyone who is listening, I invite you to spend some time this week. Don't tell anyone what you're doing. Don't do eye gazing. Just hold their gaze for longer. hold their gaze for longer than you think that you can usually, and be silent in those moments that you don't feel like you have anything to say. And I want you to come to the Lightworkers Rising Facebook group and tell us how that went. Like, we are all going to do this. I'm going to do this too. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to the cafe and just find like a waiter to do this with. Are you going to do this too, Andrew?
I do this a lot anyway.
Okay. You're like, yeah. I'm like the best student ever. I already did this.
Do you know what? It's one of my little things. I just love that feeling of looking at somebody, and quite often someone will go, oh, and after I've met somebody, they'll go, oh, the thing I remember about you when I first met you was you've got quite an intense eye gaze. But I'm just holding it, and I've learned to enjoy that experience of that uncomfortableness a little bit.
Do you know what happens for me? I get a little bit scared because I feel like I fall in love with anyone who I stare in their eyes for long enough, and I'm like, I don't feel like I can be in love with everybody in the whole world, so how do I handle this much love? And so I just like that avoid the intimacy.
That takes us back to where we were before.
Yeah.
Of avoiding that love, because it's quite overwhelming. And surely I can't have that with so many people. You know, and there's a point too, and again, just saying it because I feel like it's coming up, is there's a feeling that you move past too, of instead of just, if I feel love for this person, I need to sleep with them. To, I feel love with this person, and I'm going to allow myself to feel love with this person because it's going to make my life better. It's going to make me feel good, instead of having to reach out and make it physical, which I'm sure would be beautiful as well. But there's a point where you go past and go, I don't actually have to sleep with all the people that I feel love for. I just need to accept the love.
And know that you deserve it anyway. Like, regardless of anything else. Yeah. Oh, yes. My God, we've talked about so much. I have no idea how to sum this up, but I will. Andrew, you are such an incredible human being and a divine being as well. Everyone, thank you so much for understanding that there's like background noise because Andrew is in Bali and this was the only time that we could get him. I think, is that like a drill? What even just happened there? But
that was a scooter.
Okay, so thank you, Andrew, for doing this podcast. Can you tell people how they can find you? Because I feel like everyone has fallen a little bit in love with you in this time. Tell us how they can find you.
Thank you, Kiara. You say the nicest things, don't you? Easy. My website's andreweggleton.com. That's E-G-G-E-L-T-O-N. Or my Facebook is The Playroom by Andrew.
Awesome. Yeah. Good. Okay. And Andrew and I are not stopping here. We're going to head over and do a secret episode as well. So you can stick around for that.
Mamma mia.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, okay. So Andrew and I went over after the podcast and we did the secret episode. Let me tell you what we talked about in the secret episode. We talked about what Andrew does as soon as he wakes up, his practices before he ends the day. We kind of talked a lot about how he's a spiritual rebel and doesn't do all of the things that other people think that they have to do. We talked about the most inspiring film that he has ever watched, his favorite book, the reason behind why he doesn't have practices and rituals, how he raises his vibration when he's not feeling his best, how raw it feels to surrender to whatever he's feeling in the moment, and the best piece of advice that he has ever received. There is so much juicy goodness in this secret episode, as there are each week for all of the secret episodes, and you get access to all of them at aninspiredlife.com.au/secret. If you have enjoyed this podcast and you feel like lit up and inspired and that you want to share that with other people, then I would love for you to hit share in some way to tell someone else about this podcast so that they too can receive this kind of transmission and the practical tips that we share as well. This podcast was like scary for me to share. So if you enjoyed it, then please tell me and please tell other people about it as well. And if you want to be supported by a group of people who are having these kind of conversations and you want to make sure that the conversation doesn't end here with like one great hour, but that you can continue on and feel loved and supported and safe amongst other lightworkers, then I invite you to head over to facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising. Or just search Lightworkers Rising into the Facebook search bar. And then you will be able to find like hundreds of people who are having conversations like this and supporting each other and loving each other up and rising together. And they inspire me every day and I hang out there every day. So come and join us over there. And if you would like to download a free audio training, if you would like a free gift that goes beyond what I share in this podcast, then you can also head to aninspiredlife.com.au and you can find a free audio training on how to reclaim your co-creative power. So that is all that I have for you today. I hope to see you and hear from you and spend like time sharing energy with you next week. Again, thank you so much for doing this work on yourself. And I hope that you have a magical day moving forward. Bye for now.